The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Kiddushin has been sponsored by our good friend Mr. Haimi Dana, Hashem Shmireu V'Hayehu, in honor of his wife, Dina Bat Rivka. That should have many years of Shalom Bayit, Masechet Kiddushin. And Aslaha, Parnasa, and all good things, health, happiness, Nachat from the children, and all the Berachot. Amen. Daf Chavtet. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Bar Zikeni. Yosef Ben Sarah, Vimarat Zikeni, Tiefa Ben Sarah, Vilun Nishmat.
Shalom Ben Farha.
Shalom Ben Farha. Veninu Nishmat Avram Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tenihem Begen Eden, Amen. Berfuah Shalema, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah Ruhama Bet Rachel, Vesra Bet Rachel, Vachem Sion Nevi Ben Esther, Vigam Abraham Ben Sarah, Enna Refana Lahem. Yehuda ben Yafa, Enna Refalim, Enna Refalim, Enna Refalim, Fata Nevish, Fata Gufatim, Kribala, Vichin Yerasom, and Omar. And we begin today's daf on Chafhet Amud Bet, starting from the new Mishnah. Rishut Hagavoa Bekesef. What is this referring to? So Rashi says, this is referring to Ma'ot of Hekdesh. Ma'ot Behekdesh Konot, which means when you want to buy something for Hekdesh, so the kinyan is done with kesef. That's the way Hekdesh buys things. You can buy it with the kinyan of kesef. We'll see exactly what this means. Again, reshuta kavoa bekesef. For example, the gizbar in the Beit HaMikdash, he wants to buy something for the Beit HaMikdash. The kinyan is money. Ursuta hedyot behazaka. But a hedyot, which means a regular person, hazaka. What does hazaka mean? That she says meshicha. Good. That's what we learned. Metaltin. How do you make a kinyan of metaltin? Meshicha. You have to grab the item. Amirato legavoa, kimsirato lehidyot. Famous saying. Amirato legavoa. By making a verbal declaration, tregavoa, tegdesh, that's like mesirat lehidyot, which means when a person says, for example, harez hegdesh, it's just verbal. It's as if it transmits hegdesh. That's considered as if you made a mesira by metaltin. Which means what? Or Meshicha, or any of the Kinyanim. It chose Mesira just because that's one of the Kinyanim. Mm-hmm. Which is what an action is to Metaltelin, Mesira Le'idyot is Amira Le'gavoa. Mm-hmm. You don't have to actually transfer it physically, you just have to say it, and already it's considered transferred. Okay, so that's a famous saying. Amirato Le'gavoa, Kimsirato Le'idyot. Not Tafka Mesira. Mesira, they chose Mesira. Mesira by an animal, you give the leash over to the... Who had been Meshicha? Who had been any of the Yagma? Any of the Kinyanim. Good. So the Gemara begins. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Reshut Gavoa BeKesef. Give me an example of the Mishnah that says that the Reshut Gavoa, that Hekdesh buys things through Kesef. Gizbar Shenoten Ma'ot Pebehema. The Gizbar, the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash, he goes to buy an animal for Korban, pays with money. Afilu Behema Besof HaOlam Kana. I don't care where the animal is. Hekdesh owns the animal. The second the money is paid, ubhediot lo kana ad shiyimshoch. Good, until he makes the meshicha. Ketzad amirato legavoa kemsirato lehediot. Give me a case over here where verbal declaration of hekdesh is like a mesira, is like a handing over to a by hediot by very common stuff. Haomer shor ze ona bayit ze hekdesh afilu besof haolam. Kana, meaning Hekdesh is Kone. Behidyot, lo Kana. But Hidyot is no Kinyan. Adshim Shok Beyazik. Which is by the shore he has to make Meshicha, and by the Bayit he has to make Hazaka. That's what it means. Adshim Shok Beyazik, respectively. Good? Now the Gemara gives two interesting laws, or a few interesting laws, I should say, by Hekdesh. Mashcho Bamaneh. What did he do? Rashi says, "Mashcho hediot hefet shel hekdesh miyad de gizbar b'maneh." Let's say there was an item that was hekdesh; it was worth $100. The guy made meshicha; he took it because he's interested in making pidyon on it. He wants to redeem the item for its value, and he'll give the value to the Beit HaMikdash. So the guy takes it from the gizbar. What happened? V'lo espik lefdoto, but he didn't get a chance to redeem it. Ad she'amad b'matayim. It went up. So the Gemara says, noten matayim. Now you owe 200. Why? Because she didn't redeem it yet. My tama v'natana kesev v'kamlo. Until you give the money, the item still remains be'ekdesh. So I don't care if you took it. You made meshika. It's not your item. Bottom line, by the time you got around to make the pidyon, it's worth 200. Now you got to pay 200. Now it goes the other way. Mashko b'matayim. You took it to make pidyon. It was 200. Velo speak liftoto. You didn't get a chance to make the pidyon. Ad she'amad b'maneh. It went down to 100. No, 10 matayim. He still got to give the 200. So Hekdesh always wins. My ta'ama lo yeh koach hidyot hamur mehekdesh. Why, you want to make hidyot that's koneh b'meshikha. You want to make that more powerful than hekdesh? Because the guy did make a meshikha. Meshikha is koneh by hidyot. And therefore we're going to say that we're not going to make the kinyan of the hidyot more powerful than the kinyan of hekdesh. Therefore, since at the time he made the kinyan, it was worth 200, so therefore he's got to pay 200. Okay, so therefore we play it both ways. The chumna, the chumna to the man, the hekdesh always wins. Next case, pedao b'matayim. Okay, which means the guy paid first in this case. He looked at the item was worth 200. Pedao b'matayim. So he redeemed the item for 200. Velo espik lemoshko. But he never took the item of Hekdesh. Ad she'amad b'maneh, and it went down to 100, noten matayim. It doesn't matter. He's got to pay 200. May ta'ama v'natana kesef ekamlo. Because you go at the time of the pidyon. At the time of the pidyon, when he was put there, what was it worth? 200. The pidyon is 200. I don't care if it went down after that. But this is the case where the guy, the ordinary guy, saves and Hekdesh loses. Pedao b'maneh. He made pidyon for 100. Velo hispik lemoshko. You didn't yet make meshicha. Ad she'amad b'matayim. It went up to 200. Ma shepada padui. Whatever he did ve'enu noten ela maneh. All he has to give is maneh. So the Gemara says, amai. Why don't you say the same logic? That since the guy did not make a meshicha yet, and now the item went up, maybe he has to pay the higher price, which means you shouldn't make by a hidyot if you didn't make a meshicha. By hidyot, if you didn't make a meshicha, it's nothing. So similarly, in this case over here, if you didn't make a meshicha, it should be considered still of hekdesh, and therefore you should pay now the higher price, which means just like we use the sivara, that we don't want to make hidyot less than, or hekdesh less than hidyot, so the same thing should be over here. Look at Rashi, fourth line, lo yehe koach hidyot, she'im mashko miyad hidyot, yishalem. Okay, that's going on the one before that. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, atu hidyot, lav b'mishe paraka'e. What does this mean? We have a law like this. There's a law called Mishapara. Mishapara is actually a curse. Mm-hmm. What's this curse? A curse of a man that changes the deal and he backs out of the deal. Mm-hmm. What happened over here? Guy comes to his friend, he says, okay, let's make a deal over here. Okay, how much you want to sell me the item for? I'll agree, sell it to you for 100. Okay, the guy takes the 100, he pays him. All of a sudden, the price changes. And he comes along and says, well, the price went up now, I want 200. What are you doing over here? Which means even though he didn't make a meshicha yet and anything like that, but you gave me your word, you can give it to me for 100. Now already you want to change the deal and make it 200? So even though I'd say he has a right to do that because I didn't really make a meshicha, but there's a mishapara on that guy. That you made a deal and now already you're changing the deal. That's already mishapara. Similarly, the Gemara is saying over here, by a hidyot, even though you didn't make a meshicha, it might not be binding, but there's ramifications of a mishapara. So too over here by hekdesh, even though the guy didn't make the meshicha, he paid 100 for the pidyon, you can't come down and tell him, oh, you didn't make meshicha, give us 200. Mm-hmm. True, by a hidyot, it's really not binding, but there are ramifications. There's a mishapara on that. And therefore, similarly, just like a hijot, you can't change your mind. Similarly over here, when the guy paid 100, even though he didn't make a meshicha, We're not going to say now, oh, now give us 200. Because even by a hidyot, we're only going to make him pay 100. We're not going to change the price. And if he does change the price, we're going to put a curse on him. So therefore, in this case over here, advantage goes to the guy himself, not to the hikdash. Good, because there would be a mishapara in a regular case of chulin. Okay. Good. Now we start the new mishnah. Kol mitzvot haben al ha'av. We don't know what these words mean. Any mitzvah of the son on the father. We'll wait for the Gemara to explain that. Anashim hayavim v'nashim peturot. Okay, men are obligated. Ladies are peturot. V'chol mitzvah ta'av al ha'bin. And any mitzvah of the father on the son. Echad anashim v'echad nashim hayavim. Men and women are hayavim. V'chol mitzvah ta'aseh she'azman gerama. And any mitzvah that's bound by time, mitzvah ta'aseh. Anashim hayavim v'nashim peturot. Men are hayavon, hayavim and ladies are peturot. V'chol mitzvat aseh shelo hazeman geraman. Any mitzvah that's not bound by time, mitzvat aseh. Echad anashim v'echad anashim hayavim. Men and ladies are hayavim. V'chol mitzvat lo ta'aseh. A negative commandment. Ben shazeman gerama. Ben shelo hazeman gerama. Echad anashim v'echad anashim hayavim. So basically the rules are mitzvat aseh shazeman gerama, nashim peturot. Mitzvat aseh shelo hazman gerama, nashim hayavot. Mitzvat lo ta'aseh, ben shazman gerama, ben shelo hazman gerama, ben anashim, ben nashim hayavot. Chutz, except there's three lo ta'aseh that ladies are not obligated. Number one, bal takif, peot, they have no issur on that. Ubal tashchit, that's the law of the beard, cutting the beard off. Ubal tetama lemitim, there's no law that a lady, a kohenet, that she has to worry about metim. The law of tumat metim is only applying to the men. Emor elakohanim bene aharon velo benot aharon. The Gemara is going to say. Okay, so that's basically the Mishnah. Okay, we need to have clarity. So the Gemara asks, "My kol mitzvot haben al ha'av." What does this mean? All the mitzvot of the son on the father. Ilema kol mitzvot demechayev bera lemeibad leaba. Maybe it means any mitzvah that the child has to do for the father, kibud avim and things like that. So the Gemara says, "Nashim peturot." What are you tell me? Ladies are exempt from kibud avim. I mean, if you're going to tell me mitzvah taben ala av means the mitzvot that the son does to the father, and you're going to tell me those type of mitzvot, ladies are exempt. It can't be. Ve'atanya, it says in the pasuk, "Ish imo ve'aviv tira'u." So the Gemara says, "Ish, in the ela ish isha minayin, kishu omer ish immo ve'aviv tira'u, harekan shnayim." Right, from the fact that it says tira'u, so it's plural. So it must be talking about that not only the boy has to respect his parents, but also the girl, tira'u. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you cannot explain the Mishnah to tell me that any mitzvah that the child has to the father, ladies are exempt. Because we know ladies are hayavot in kibudav. Oh, so what's the pshat in the Mishnah? So Mishnah means like this. Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar, kol mitzvat haben hamutelet ala av la'asot livno. Any mitzvah of the child that's incumbent upon the father to do for the child. There's certain mitzvot that apply to the child, but he's too young to do them. And therefore, who does it for him? The father. So it's a mitzvah of the child that the father is obligated to execute for the child. So anashim hayavim v'nashim peturot. In that case over there, only the men are obligated to their children and not the ladies. Oh, so what are they? What are these mitzvot? Tanina lehadetaru rabbanan. We have a braita. Ha'av hayav bibno. The father is obligated to the son. Lamulo. Okay. Brit mila. Velifdoto. To give him a pejun. Pejun abin, 30 days old. Velamedo Torah. Teach him Torah. Ulasi o isha. Marry him off. Ulilamedo umanut. And to teach him a trade. Set him up in business. Veyeshomrim afdashito bemayim. And some say you have to teach your children, your sons, to swim. Okay? So the Gemara says, the Biyuda Omer. Anybody that doesn't teach their child a trade, you're teaching him to be a thief. V'stutz al kadatach. Really, you're teaching him thievery? You're not teaching him thievery. Ela ki'ilu melamedo l'stut. It's like you're teaching him thievery. Why? Because if he doesn't have a padnasa, what is he going to do? He's going to go steal. He needs money. So he's going to go steal money, and you're teaching him to be a crook. Namulo minalan. How do we know that a father has an obligation to circumcise his son? Dichtiv vayamul Abraham et Yitzhak beno. Okay, clearly. So you see that what? Abraham did it. That's incumbent upon the father. And when the father didn't circumcise, so who's the next in line? Mechayev bedina. So betin is hayev. Lememhele, to circumcise. Dichtiv, himol lachem kol zakar. Himol, it's on the betin. Let's say the betin did not do it. Mechayev ihu lememhal nafsheh. So when he gets older, he has to circumcise himself or get it done. Dichtiv, ba'arel zakar asher lo yimol et besar orlato venichreta. So therefore there's three levels: the father, Bedin, and then the child himself. Okay? Good. So comes the Gemara and says, Ihi minalan delo mehaiba. Oh. How do we know that the lady is not obligated to circumcise the mother? The mother is not obligated to circumcise the child. Dichtiv, ka'ashis siva oto Elohim. Oto velo ota. So the Gemara says, Ashkehan miyad. So all you found is what? It's by Avraham Avinu. It's all by Avraham Avinu. So I, ledorot minalan. How do I know that this law that applied to Avraham Avinu applies to all the generations in the future? Tana deber bishmael kol makom shneemar sav. And this person was kashis siva. Anytime the word sav is used, Eno ela ziruz miyad uldorot. So it's referring to those three principles. What is that? Sav, ziruz, and ledorot. So Rashi says, Shie mahir vizariz bedavar vinoheg miyad vinoheg ledorot. Which means three things. Number one, you should do it bizrizut, quickly, with alacrity. You should do it in your generation, miyad uldorot, and it applies also to the future generation. How do you know? Ziruz dichtiv. How do you know when you see the word sav, it means do it quickly? Dichtiv besav et Yoshua v'hazekeu v'ameseu. Hazekeu, meaning do it quickly. Give him a hazuk, do it now. Miyad u'dorot dichtiv menayom ashesiva Hashem v'ahala ledorotechem. You see, miyom hazet ledorotechem. Good, that's it. Tosfot over has a question. Look at the second to the bottom Tosfot. Tosfot says a very strong question. What do you need a pasuk to tell me that ladies are peturot? Why don't you just say milah is mitzvat aseh shehazman gerama? Because you can only do the milah from the eighth day on, and therefore the first 8 days you cannot do the brit milah. That means it has a time to it. Any mitzvat aseh that's bound by, can you do the milah on day two?
No,
you can't do it. So if it's bound by time, it can only be done at a certain time. So therefore, what do you need a pasuk? Just say mitzvat aseh shehazman gerama dashim peturot. Get Tosfot. Lama likra v'imtum lama likra tipukle te mitzvat aseh shehazman gerama shenimol b'shemini ledato v'nashim peturot. V'yesh toma, that's not called mitzvat aseh shehazman gerama. Kevan d'miyom b'shemini v'hal'a because from when the time that the mitzvah becomes viable, from that time on there's no zman, which means in the first 8 days there's no mitzvah bechlal, there's no such thing as milah. Milah doesn't kick in until 8 days, but once it kicks in it goes on. Oh good. So Tosfot asks another question, but it's still zman gerama. Why? So he says v'im tomar Akate mitzvat aseh shehazman gerama de'en malin ela bayom. You only do the milah the day. Kedeita b'perek ha'arel. Right? So you do it in the day. It means the night, you're not allowed to do it. Mizvah does Zman Gerama. ויש לומר, דעתיה כמאן דמראתם, דמילה שלא בזמנה, נוהגת בין ביום, בין בלילה. Right? You have to say that what? That we're going according to the opinion that holds that a milah able to do it bim bayom bim balayla. Which means from the eighth day on, you can do it at night, the day, and so on and so forth. Therefore, you need a pasuk to come and exclude the lady, because if it wasn't for a pasuk, they would be able to be do it. Of course, it is not a mitzvah to say according to this opinion. So comes the Gemara and says, pidyon lift oto. Father's obligated to put his son. Mina la andichtiv kol dechor banecha tifte. Veecha delo parke abu. Right, where the father didn't put the son. Mechayev ihu the mifreke. So it falls on the son to put himself dichtiv pado tifte. Good, which means pado tifte. From the extra language we learn, he does it himself. So the Gemara says, "V'ihi min alan delo mefakda." How do we know that she's not obligated to put there the child? So it says, "Dichtiv tippade tifde," which means the pasuk is written tifde. Tifde means be put there others, but you could read the word also tippade. Tippade means he should do it himself. So you can read it the way it's written, tivdeh, when we read it, tivdeh, but it can be read, tippadeh. So the Gemara makes a connection between the two readings of the word. Kol shemitzuve liftot et atzmo, mitzuve liftot et achirim. Interesting. Anybody that's mitzuve to podeh himself has a mitzvah to be podeh others. Tifteh means others, tipadeh himself. If you're chayav on yourself, you're chayav on others. Bechos she'enu mitzuveh liftot et atzmo, but anybody that's not chayav on himself, enu mitzuveh liftot achirim. So therefore, since the assumption is a lady is not mitzuveh to be podeh herself, we don't know where from, we're assuming that, since she's not mitzuveh to podeh herself, she's not mitzuveh to podeh her son. Oh, v'ihi min alan delo mechayba lemifrak nafsha. Who said she's not obligated? Maybe she's chayav to make a pidyon on herself. Tichtiv tifdeh tipadeh. Again, the same ekesh on the same words. Again, we read it tifdeh, but it can be read tipadeh. Tipadeh means yourself. Tifdeh means to others. And we say the other way this time. Kol she'achirim mitzuvim liftoto. Whoever is eligible for a pidyon by others. It's a mitzvah to be podeh himself. If you don't have to be podeh that person, well, but now we have the question. How do we know that there's not an obligation to be podeh woman? Good. So basically we knocked out ladies on the parasha pidyon. They themselves are piturot, that's banecha. Once they're piturot, so whoever is piturah themselves is piturah to be podeh. Others, that's why the mother is not podeh the child. Mm-hmm. Good? Yeah. I don't know, banan. Who lifdot or beno lifdot? Okay. He needs to be padu, he means his father didn't podeh him, obviously. Who beno lifdot? And he has a son that's also needs to be padui. He's also a bechor. He only has 5 coins. Yeah, that's the pidyon. He needs 5 coins, right? Let's say. Who goes first? So the Gemara says, "Who kodem libno?" He goes first. The father. The biyuda omer beno kodmo. Why? Sheze mitzvato al aviv, veze mitzvat beno alav. Right. Your mitzvah was on your father. He didn't do it. Now what's on you is to do your son. That's what's on you right now. The first one was on the father to do. He didn't do it. Okay, but now what's on you is to do the mitzvah for the son. Like we learned, Kol mitzvah to ben alav. So then we have to do it. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Kol modim Oh, now we have a clarification. Everybody agrees if he only has five coins, who kodem libno? Oh, that's not a question. Why? My tama mitzvah de gufe adifa. Listen, he comes first. There's a nyan of mitzvah be gufo. He comes first. Ki peligi echa deika hamesh mishu'badim v'hamesh benehorim. What does he have over here? He has five coins that are mishu'bad. What does it mean, mishu'bad? Which means he has karka, let's say. That's worth, let's say, five coins. Okay, either he sold it or he gave it to somebody. So it's mishu'bad. There's a shu'bud on it. I mean, there's a lien on it. The hamesh bin echorin. He sold it. He sold a piece of land.
Worth 5 coins.
Land, right. There's a lien on that land over there.
Yeah. He's the lien holder?
He's the lien holder, kind of there. Yeah, cool.
Somebody else, but he's a lien on it.
Right. Somebody else took the land, but he has a lien on it, which means he can sell it. Technically, let's say he can get it back. There's a lien on it. It's mishrubad. Is that the case? Hamesh mishrubadim. Hainu karka b'shivui hamesim shemachra unatna l'acherim. Yeah, okay, he sold it. That's simple. He sold it. He sold a piece of land to somebody else. B'hamesh bin Echorim. Okay, now the Gemara is going to explain. Wait, the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Melve Dichtiv B'Torah. You have a loan. The Torah talks about a loan, person lending money. So that's what it says in the Torah about Melva, Kichtuva B'Shtar Damya. It's like it's written in a shtar. It's like it's written in a document. Bahani Hamesh Padik Libre. Oh, it's in this case. The five that you have, free coins, go put there your son. The Azil Kohen. Now let the Kohen go. The Tarif Le Hamesh Mishu'badim. Let him go to the field, because you owe the Kohen 5 coins. Okay, it's very simple. You have 5 coins, beautiful. With the 5 free coins, take care of your son. Now, you happen to sell a field. But the Kohen has a shavur on that field. Because you owe the Kohen money. Correct? You owe that Kohen money. So therefore, let the Kohen now go to the guy that bought the field and say, hey, listen, that the field belongs to me. Right? And the Hamesh Mishrubadim, Lidi there, and to put there the father's pidyon. Look at Ashi. Kichtuvim b'shtar damya. Uvifidyon atzmo aya mechuyav kodim shishirbet kakerotav. Which means, before he sold that field, the Kohen was owed this money. Because when you owe somebody money like this, like the Torah says, it's a milveh of the Torah says you owe this Kohen money, that's if it's written in the shtar. And what's the law? Any money that's already collectible by a shtar, when you sell real estate, there's a shagmur on the real estate. If it was verbal, you can't put a verbal commitment on a real estate. But milveh shekatuv b'shtar is mishu'bad on the karka. So the Biyuda says that milveh shekatuv b'shtar, for example, pidyon, Torah says you owe the Kohen money, that's like it's written in the shtar. So when you sold this karka, already the Kohen had his hand on it, because it's his karka. So therefore, what does that she say? V'yitrofet alekuchot, hilkak b'hamesh b'nei haredi ika, the 5 b'nei horim coins that he has, parik libre, de'enze ona'ah. This is not considered on Asherim mitzvat beno alav yoter me mitzvato. What does Ashi want with this? The enze ona'a? Right, which means like this. You're going to come along and say, the guy who the coin is going to go take, he'll come along and say, you had 5 coins. Who told you to take those 5 free coins and put there your son? Now you want to come to... I mean, the only way you can go to Likuchot is what? If he doesn't have any money. But you had money. You should have been put there yourself and leave us alone. No. Because bottom line, there's a mitzvah on the father to put there his son. So you can't say that he acted recklessly or he acted out of line. No. He has an obligation to put there his son. So with the 5 free coins, he's put there his son. Now the Kohen comes and says, hey, You owe me money. I have a star. My star is called the Torah, by the way. And that star over there makes that field that you sold called Mishrobat. He can go to the guy's field, pull the guy's field away. Hey, what are you doing? That's the way you do it. So you put there the kid with the five free coins, and you put there himself with the five Mishrobatim. Good? What do the rabbis say? V'Rabbanan Savre. Oh, so you're in trouble. They hold that thing that you owe the Kohen money as verbal. Just because it's written in the Torah doesn't make it as if it has a star. So you can only do one. The guy only has five coins, right? The five coins, do yourself. It's not going to fly, according to the rabbis, to take the five coins and put there the son, and then go tell the coin to go to the field, because the coin is going to say, hey, you have no right to take Mr. Madin. Where's the star? There's no star over here. It was a verbal item. And therefore, according to the Hakanim, the only option is to put there the himself, and the son is not going to be paid. Wait till he gets more coins eventually. Tanu Rabbanan. Livdot et beno. Okay, what's the guy's options here? He can either redeem his son or go up to the Yerushalayim on one of the holidays. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Podeh et beno, v'ahar kach ole l'regel. Do the pigeon first. Then go up to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ole l'regel, v'ahar kach podeh et beno. Why? Shizu mitzvah overit. Makes sense. The holiday is going to pass.
You do it after the holiday.
Go, do the mitzvah. Pejon, you can do whatever you want. Yeah. 7 days, the holiday is over. You missed it. So do the mitzvah that has a time value to it, time constraint to it. This time, Rabbi Yehuda, kedekamar tama. Rabbi Yehuda, you're very good. You explain me your reason. Ela Rabbanan, my tama you. What's the reason of the rabbis? Why did I say do the pejon first? The Amar Kera, Kol Bechor Banecha Tifde, and then you know what it says, Behadar Lo Yira'u Panay Rekam. Gezeret HaKatuf. Torah says, do pigeon first, and then don't see me empty. I mean, come on the holiday. Okay, Gezeret HaKatuf. Yes, sir. Comes Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan. And what Buddha does not doresh this simichut in the Pesukim? Tanu Rabbanan. Minnaim shim ayu lo hamisha banim mechamesh nashim. Tanu Rabbanan. Minnaim shim ayu lo hamisha banim mechamesh nashim shehayav levdot kulan. Oh, how do you know that each one has to be padui? Tanu Rabbanan. Kol bechor banecha tefdeh. So the Gemara says, "Pshita befeter rechem tala rahmana." Of course, the inyan of pigeon is what? It's the first one out of the womb. So what do I care? Each one of the wives is peter rechem. So I need you to tell me that five bechors from five wives of peter rechem is that pashut? So the Gemara says, "Ma'od de tema nila bechor bechor menahala." Oh, I might have made a gezeras shava, firstborn. From firstborn to inheritance. Ma la'alan reshit ono. Over there, it's the first one of his first wife. Af kan reshit ono. So I would have thought that here also, it's just the first one that has to be padui. Kamashma'ala. No, each one is considered a bechor. But she's only one bechor for nahala. That's the first child, right? From his first wife, from his first son. But she'enkin by pigeon, each one is considered a bechor. Okay, we continue. Comes the Gemara and says, "Lelamedo Torah." One of the obligations of the father is to teach his son Torah. Minalan. How do you know? Dichtiv, v'limbadetem otam et benechem. Very simple. V'limbadetem otam et benechem. You'll teach it to your boys. Ve'echa de lo agmere abu. where he doesn't, father doesn't teach him, mechayev ihu lemegmar nafsheh. So he has to teach himself, he has to learn himself, dechtiv, velemaditim. Which means what? They have to learn themselves, as she says, kera aharinahu. It's another pasuk. Ulmadtim, otam, ushmaltim, la'asotam. It's talking about the person himself. Ulmadtim, he has to learn himself. Different pasuk. Vilimmadtim, otam, et berechem. You have to teach, and then ulmadtim is the you yourself have to learn. Ihi minalan de lo mehaiba. How do you know that she's not obligated? What? She's not obligated to what? That she says, lelamedet bena. Oh. How do we know she's not obligated to teach her son?
She can learn herself.
Dichtiv, vilimaditim, vilimaditam. Well, actually, vilimaditim, ulmaditim. So you can make this derasha and compare the two words, because those are two words in the Torah, which means, vilimaditim means teach others, ulmaditim means learn yourself. We're going to connect the two derashot and say what? Whoever is obligated to learn themselves, mitzuveh lelamed has a mitzvah to teach others. And anybody does not have an obligation to learn, like a woman, eno mitzuveh lelamed. How do we know she's not obligated to learn Torah herself? I'm sorry. Right, she's not obligated to learn herself. Same derasha, but the reverse way. Whoever is obligated to be taught, that you're obligated to teach, is obligated to teach. Has to learn himself. But anybody that you're not obligated to teach, how do we know that other people are not obligated to teach her? And therefore we'll know that she's not obligated to teach others. Finish, easy. So she's pitura. Whoever is pitura from being taught is pitura from teaching. So she's pitura from learning herself, meaning from learning from her father. She's not to be taught. Whoever is peturah from being taught is peturah from having to teach it. Therefore, she doesn't have to teach her children. Yeah. Good. Tanu Rabbanan. Oh, famous case. Who lilmod ubeno lilmod? Okay. Who goes first?
Only
one of them can go to the yeshiva. The other one has to stay back. If the father has to learn and his son has to learn. So the Gemara says, who kodem libno? He goes first. The father goes. Biuda Omer, Biuda makes a haluk. In beno zariz umimulah, meaning if the son is zealous, diligent, good, umimulah is like mutzlah, which means he has potential. Yeah, he's a bright kid. V'talmudo mitkayim biyado, he has good memory. Beno kodmo. Then you send the kid. The question of Biuda, you go, who has the bigger talent? Right? Nashi. Imaya beno zariz. There's the money for both to send him to each both yeshiva. Yilmod beno vu yitriyah har mizorot v'yaspikenu. So Rashi throws in, don't only send him to yeshiva. You go work and give him the money. You got to support him in the yeshiva. Good, yeah, something like that. Kiyad Rav Yaakov bere the Rav Achabar Yaakov. Okay, the story of Rav Yaakov. Bered Rav Achabar Yaakov. Shadre Abu Lekameh de Abaye. So, Rav Achabar Yaakov sent Rav Yaakov, his son, to go learn by Abaye. Kiata, when he got to the yeshiva, Hazia de lo hava mehadedin shemata. He saw. Yeah, when he came back to, he learned by Abaye. When he came back, he saw that he really wasn't grasping the limud. The son wasn't so matzliach. So what did Rav Acha say? I'm better than you. Tuvat, you stay here and go to work. Deizil, Anna.
I'm gonna go
to yeshiva. I guess Kanade, they both couldn't go. So he said, okay, you go first. Kanade, he told his son has kohot. When he came back, he saw he wasn't getting the limud. Okay, you stay, I'm gonna go instead. Shema, so now we get to a story. So now Rabbi Haber Yaakov's come into the yeshiva, and it seems Kanade Rabbi Haber Yaakov had a reputation to being a big tzaddik. So what happened? So it says, Shama Abaye Dekava Ateh. He heard that Rabbi Haber Yaakov's coming to town. Hava hu mazik bir banan da Abaye. There was a certain mazik in the Bet Midrash of Abaye. Like a demon. But I was going to say it was a seven-headed monster that used to appear at nights in the yeshiva of Abaye. In those days, the yeshivas were far off in the fields, in secluded areas, and at nights the mazikim would come out, the shedim would come out. So there was this mazik over here, and it was a very scary mazik. The Gemara says so much, dechi have aileh betren. Normally we have a rule when it comes to mazikim. Let's just review the laws. If one guy's walking alone, the mazik can appear and attack. If there's two people walking, it can appear but will not attack. If there's three people, it won't even appear. Okay? And in a general rule, mazikim don't come out in the day at all. They only come out at night. This mazik was so strong that the Gemara says, Ki avu aile bitrin afilu biyibama. When they would walk with two people, even in the day, havu mitzike, it would be revealed and it would attack. And it seems kind of, they with all the gadrut of Abaye and everything, couldn't subdue it. Amalehu. So the plan was like this: the outside, then we read it inside. Rabbi Haas coming to town to study. Nobody invite him to sleep in their house. He'll be forced to sleep in the Bet Midrash. The Mazik will come out and he'll have a confrontation with the Mazik and he'll handle it. That's the plan. So Amalehu lo litiv le inash ushpiza. Nobody invited Rabbi Habar Yaakov. Nobody give him ushpiza. Efshar de mitrahesh nisa. Maybe a miracle will happen. Al bat beahu berabbanan. So he went. Bat means he slept. He slept in the Bet Midrash that night. Idmele kitinina, like a snake, the shiva rishvate with seven heads. Kol kiriad de kara, every bow that he made in his tefillah, natar hadreshe, one of the heads came off. Amar lehu lemahar, the next day when he saw Abaye, he told him, ila itrahesh nisa sekantin. If a miracle didn't happen to me, you put me in danger. In sakanat nefeshot over here. Okay. Now just to understand a little of this story, just what happened over here. Kanir'eh, Abaye understood that how can he put him in danger? That's a big question. Because we have a rule like this, that even if God is going to do a miracle, but he takes away from the zechuyot. Correct? God doesn't make a miracle for nothing. So even if Abaye felt that Rav Habar Yaakov has kohot, but it's going to cost him, so how could he put him in such a predicament? Even if the miracle is going to happen, he's going to charge him. So the pshat the Maharsha says over here is like this, that Abaye understood that Rav Habar Yaakov is going to use the power of tefillah, as we see he did. Maharsha says when a person prays and gets answered, that's not nis, that's teva. That's like gravity. That's, you shouldn't think you prayed for something amazing, for something extraordinary, and the tefillah was answered. You say, a miracle? No, that's not a miracle. Tefillah is one of the natural paths that God put into the Briyah, that if you use it, it'll work. There's two ways to do it, for example. You could take a knife and cut the heads off the 6-7-headed monster, or he can open up a sidur. It's the same. It's the same thing, which means just like if he would have taken a knife and killed it, you say, "Oh, that's derech hateva." Tefillah also is considered a. That's why when Yaakov Avinu says, when he conquered Shechem, he says, "Bekashti, beharbi ubkashti." Targum explains, "Beharbi ubkashti, bistoti ubahoti." My prayers. At Yaakov, the great tzaddik, could be tefillah and the harev is the same thing. So one day you use a sword, one day you use a sidur. Mm-hmm. It's the same inyan. That's not miraculous, that's derech hateva. So this great tzaddik over here, Rav Habar Yaakov, which was Tamas connected to Yaakov Avinu, let's not for now to show you how he was connected to Yaakov Avinu. But he used tefillah, so if Abi Yis, I'm not worried about taking away his zichuyot. There's tefillah. The next day, Rav Acha in his humility came along and said, "Whoa, a miracle happened to me." It really wasn't a miracle, but he was playing. He didn't want to come along and say, "Oh, you know, I prayed." He came along and said, "Lot rahashni sasekantin. If you didn't put me in danger, you put me in danger. If a miracle didn't happen, I was in danger." He just said that derech anava. But really, it wasn't Aliba, the emet. Amen. Amen.